This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Good morning!
Or afternoon.
Depending on where you are in the world. Where we are is officially...
Afternoon.
Uh-huh. We're shooting for 12 o'clock, but
it's not too bad.
I told Kay, I said, I'm not sending out an email that says noon. Exactly. It's going to say around noon. And here we are, around noon.
Not too bad. I had to rush my bread. My timing was off. And my bread was soupy, so I threw more flour in, had to knead it more, and I was like, come on, bread.
You can do it.
You've got 25 minutes to cook. And we did it.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We have some big news today to share. We have some fun stuff to share. We can see in the chat box. The big news is I'm shaving live on YouTube.
That'd be very exhibitionist.
That would work well with our sponsors. We'll get to that later. But no, I'm not. I'm not gonna shave live on YouTube. At least not this morning. The kids would probably shut down the live.
I know stream. They wouldn't allow it.
First big news. Maybe you can tell if you've watched the show before. We've changed the studio up a little bit. We have moved things around because I wanted to have a permanent second seat for my permanent co-host. Who's my permanent co-host?
Well, this is a big announcement for me, too. Who is?
This is a big, the first big news. Kay's going to be joining me for pretty much most of our live streams now. The podcast is coming back. I know a lot of you have been emailing me, leaving comments on the YouTube channel, saying, we miss the podcast. Where's the podcast? We love the podcast. And I haven't updated the podcast since, I think, October. Right before deer season heated up?
Yeah, for us this year it was deer season / COVID season.
Yeah, deer season turned into COVID season. That was a real big bummer.
That put a damper on deer season and any extra kind of podcast
and I kind of lost my joy once I
Your
had COVID.
Joie de vivre was gone.
COVID... It ruined deer season. I wasn't able to get out and do any gun hunting for deer season. I didn't get a deer for the first time in 10 years. I didn't get a deer. My daughter did, but I wasn't able to get one.
And that makes it all worth it.
Yeah, so it was a great season for that. But from the end of the season, because she'd already got her deer, it was kind of a bummer. I think what we're going to start doing with the podcast now. So we're going to be recording the podcast once a week, every week. And it's going to be this, me and Kay sitting down. Did you tell them about the table?
No.
This is a
round table.
We got this nice little table here for me and Kay to sit at. It's actually from her grandparents' house. We're going to talk about this morning, but...
This afternoon.
But Kay's grandparents passed away recently. And so, you know, you like go through either, you know, can anybody use this kind of stuff? And I thought, boy, it would be kind of special to sit at the table... We weren't going to do this morning. I'm sorry, babe. I'm getting a little emotional here. It'd be nice to include that, just kind of that family history as we sit and talk about our family farm, where there's a lot of family history. So This is her grandparents' old table. And we're going to sit down, me and her, and share our stories and talk about our farm and not ruin our makeup. So,
your makeup.
My makeup. I don't want my makeup to run. So we redid the studio so that me and Kay could sit down, record the podcast together. And our goal is to share some stories each morning from the barn, live from the barn, right? What's happened in the barn. Kind of update you on things that are going on in the barn and on the farm here. And then kind of dive into a topic or two, something a little bit deeper. We're going to answer some questions. So if you're here, we obviously cannot get to all the questions, but we're going to pick a couple questions and get to. Maybe there'll be some emails we read, some messages that have been shared with us. So
yeah, we get really nice emails that if people don't, you know, feel comfortable posting them on YouTube as a comment, we get personal messages that would be nice to highlight some parts of them so other people can be encouraged by them as much as we are by them.
Yeah, so we're going to do this once a week. If you want to make sure you get the show every week, you can subscribe to the podcast. I have put links below to all the stuff we're going to talk about today. I have links below too. So you'll be able to subscribe to the podcast. Everything else that you hear us chatting about, you'll be able to find.
Grace is asking where to find the podcast when it comes out again.
If you click the link below, Grace, it'll take you to subscribe to the podcast. And it will be this. So this week's episode of the podcast will just be us, this episode. You're already catching this one. I'm not sure if we're going to live stream everyone on YouTube yet. We're going to kind of gauge and see, first off, how you all enjoy this. If you actually like it, if the videos are popular, the live stream. We have the live stream video studio set up, so we will be doing it at least privately. Sometimes in the past we've had issues with trolls, and we're going to be watching that today. If anybody, looks like, awesome, Mindful Homestead is with us already, Jack. I was going to say, if anybody wants to be a moderator, if you're around for the whole episode, Jack, he's already a mod. I see that.
He read your mind.
He showed up. So, and by the way, if anybody else is a frequent flyer and you'd be interested in just keeping an eye on the chat box, we're happy to make you a mod just to make sure nobody is in there doing anything crazy. Yeah. We've had problems in the past
live
streaming.
Sometimes once the trolls are onto us, it's...
Yeah, they got nothing better to do. Yeah. I guess they don't own chickens or pigs or anything.
Or ducks or anything to keep them busy.
So we're definitely going to be recording the podcast this way. And whether or not we live stream every week on YouTube or once a month, we'll see. Kind of see how it all goes. But we're going to be doing the podcast, me and Kay, every week throughout this spring, updating you on what's going on in the farm. Last year at this time, we were doing a daily video.
Yes. So in retrospect, I guess it's going to be easier this year doing this.
Once a week is definitely easier than once a day.
Because Austin had the idea to do a daily show. That was in maybe January, you had thought about it, a daily show.
Winter is a slow time on the homestead.
And there are big ideas that come out of it.
I was like, and I think if I remember it correct, I kind of just mentioned it to you over and over in passing, like, so yeah, I'm gonna do I'm gonna redo the studio a little bit, get ready for the daily show that I'm gonna do.
Now, after 13 years of marriage,
going on
13, I have learned that he's like a little snowball rolling down a mountain.
She didn't say snowflake, snowball.
I can't stop him. I can't, so I don't even try anymore. You're gonna redo the studio. Okay, cool. I want to do some more work in there, make more podcasts. That's great. Good. I want to do a daily show.
She was like...
I said, okay. Because sometimes these ideas just die, a peaceful death. Sometimes they like, really, he's really got this idea. And this one he kept mentioning, bringing up. I'm going to do a daily show.
Just in passing.
A daily show, yeah. A daily morning show, and he wanted me to do it.
Good morning, Farm America.
Okay. And he kept talking. And then I knew this might actually be something he really pushes for. So I said, just so you know, I know you. And there's something you have to do every day that you've committed to, a few weeks in, it'll just drive you crazy. Like, you'll be done.
I get bored fast. I don't
and
like to do the same thing.
It's the added pressure of the commitment, I think, that makes it even worse for you. Because you do the same thing every day.
Yeah, you're right.
But as soon as you have to do the same thing every day.
That's the one. Yeah, it's actually not. Because I never get bored of putting on a show. I like putting on a show, and I like something like this, I enjoy. That's one of the big things, is being committed to having to do. Because one of the reasons I made my own business was so I could be my own boss, so that if I wanted to just go fishing tomorrow, I could just go fishing. And if you have a daily commitment to doing a daily show, hard to squeeze the fishing in.
So you were pushing for that daily show, right? And I said, okay, just so you know this about you, which is something I already know about you. But as a wife, you have to say it delicately enough. And
because if you like too strongly oppose it, that'll
you'll just dig your heels. No,
I can do it. I can do this. So you played it perfect. You were like, you know what, babe? I don't think it's a good idea for you, but if that's what you want to do, give it a shot, and I'll be there. I'll be your co-host. So I got the studio all prepared, all redone. We set up. We actually got a new camera so that we could have both of us on cam, so you could catch this charisma, and then. K-Cam and Oscam, so we're ready to do this. And about a week ago.
Oh, it was Friday.
Friday, because we knew today was going to be our first day of starting the new show.
Friday just happened.
And I said, kind of, again, nonchalantly over coffee, just like, so Monday's the start of our big show. Might not do every day.
Might not do every day.
Might maybe do once a week like you suggested. Spring is busy. We got a lot going on. And I just realized there's no way we can do all the homestead stuff, do all the hobby stuff, do all the business stuff. I'm starting a big new thing with Homesteady, a group of people I'll talk a little bit about later, a project. Just so many projects.
Yeah, it's always a lot.
So we figured, you know what? Once a week will be good. Everyone will enjoy a once a week podcast, and I'll be able to get everything else done, and I'll look forward to it every week instead of being like, I hate having to do something, the same thing every day.
That thing that I said I wanted to do, and I committed myself to this thing, and no one forced me to do it. I hate doing it now.
Why do I have to do that?
Speaking of busy spring then.
Busy spring.
Right?
We have
on
a
the
very
farm.
Busy spring. Today we were out in the barn, right now, we got a lot of exciting things going on in the barn. Chicks, you've already seen a little bit.
We got our meat birds for the year.
Yeah, we got 100 this year instead of the 300 that we got last year.
Yeah, this will be our one and only batch this year. We did a lot last year because that's all I was able to eat and our youngest was able to eat. So we were going through it very quickly. Then about through probably the third growing batch last year, we really expanded our diet to different meats and vegetables, some other plants, which meant we weren't going through the chicken as fast, so we still are pretty good for chicken. We only have to do one batch this year, which will be nice because three batches was a lot.
Oh my goodness, three batches was... I felt like I was John Siskovich.
You wish.
I hope Johnny's out there watching this later. Because certainly not in the middle of the day. He is out there working on
the farm
right there. Three batches, 100 birds in each batch, 8 weeks. And we didn't even stagger them very well where it was like overlap. It was like 8 weeks, 8 weeks, 8 weeks.
It was a little bit of overlap. Yeah, all spring and summer.
And it was every single day, twice a day, doing the chicken tractors. And chicken tractors are a lot of manual labor.
When they're full to capacity, which all of ours were, there's water and feed every day, twice a day, that you do have to manage, especially in the heat of summer.
We, for years back at our Connecticut homestead, we didn't do chicken tractors. We just kind of let our chicks run around outside. And we never had so many meat chicks where that was a problem. You know, we'd raise 10, 20, 30, 50 even. And where we were, they could go right out of their little coop and hit the grass.
Yeah, we would brood them in a coop we had out back. Brood them in a coop. Because we tried in the basement, but so quickly they smell, those meat birds. They grow so fast and are just eating and pooping all day long. They smell really bad.
So we put them out in that little coop And then as they got older, instead of chicken tractoring, we would just open the door and let them go. And they wouldn't go super far. They would go, kind of right outside the door and just kind of plop down. And they weren't getting a whole lot of grass. They weren't getting a whole lot of tasty bugs. They were just kind of like, Cornish crosses are not known to be very, you know, energetic birds. So they would just kind of walk out the door and flop down. So eventually we decided, you know, we want to do the pastured poultry, get them out on the grass. We were getting more and more birds, and we wanted to kind of do the whole John Siskovich move them around thing. And so we built the chicken tractors. At the time, we didn't have Siskovich tractors. We had our old kind of tractors. But that's when we started doing it. And it is really nice way to get a really great product, delicious poultry. And when we wound up switching over to Siskovich-style tractors, was it last year we did that?
Yeah, that was our first year.
You actually can leave them in the tractor, as long as you don't crowd them in there too much. You can leave them in the tractor and move them just once a day. In the evening and then once a day in the morning. That's what we were doing last year.
Yeah. And so it does translate to quite a bit of work.
Yeah, that's the one downside is you get a
especially
great product.
Three tractors, three groups of them.
And you can't store enough feed and water in the tractors. If you max them out, 30 birds per tractor.
Plus, our idea was to keep them in the field and follow everybody. So yeah. It was a distance from the barn, which meant water had to be hauled. Everything had to be hauled to them.
Yeah, it was very, very labor-intensive. So we have some changes. We'll talk about in an upcoming episode some changes to our grass-fed armada, I called it last year, because it was just fleet moving through the field. But the chicken tractors, we decided, you know what? They are a lot of labor. We're going to back off on the amount we do. One big group of 100 will do it. Less work for us. And we're already on to week three now?
Yep, this week is week three.
Week three is a big week for chicks. For meat birds, right. For Cornish crosses.
Don't do this
with your other heritage breeds. Yeah. Cornish crosses, by week three, you got the lights up so high, you're just kind of giving them a little bit extra warmth on those cooler mornings. And by the end of week three, you're really backing that temperature off completely. They almost don't even need you. One of the things you can pay attention to is when their feathers are growing, you want to see them getting fully feathered. You wouldn't want to pull the heat away from them before you're seeing all those feathers develop. But this is the week where your temperatures are dropping. First week, you needed 99 degrees. You needed really warm room that first week. But now, we're backed off. And
it's warm outside, finally. We're getting really nice spring days in the 60s and 70s this week.
And today we had to add more feeders and more waterers to the setup. We've converted over to nipple waterers today. Earlier this week we did that. We start them off in bell waterers because...
So they know where it is, how to find it.
We've tried in the past starting chicks with nipples, and they have a hard time... Everyone has a hard time learning, and we found you get ones that die off if you go too quickly to just nipple waterers. So we start them in bell waterers, but then we start training them to the nipple waterers. And the nipple waterers are just so much cleaner.
Yes, and they don't go through them as quickly. So if we have a combination of everything, it works out really good. It keeps everything much cleaner and drier, which is good for them too, to be dry.
Yeah, so we're about a third of the way through which is shocking. Spring has just started this week. We're already a third of the way through our meat birds for the year. It'll be really nice. I always enjoy the first batch. I love a good big butcher day with 100 birds to do. We get the kids out there.
Yeah, that was the other thing last year, were three butcher days.
Yeah, that was a lot of work.
Yeah, so that's a whole weekend, three times. We would like a vacation with our family this year.
Yeah, COVID ruined our family vacation last year. I'm sure it ruined a lot worse. So don't cry over the vacation. A lot of people out there, it's been a lot worse for it.
Yeah, but this year, hopefully, we can take the kids somewhere other than, like, the backyard.
Yay! Staycation! Now go clean the chicken coop. In addition to chick news, kind of in the poultry genre, we got some cool guinea updates. We got guineas last year. We brought them back to the homestead.
Yeah, we got some. I ordered eggs from Texas. And Florida, I believe. So we have lots of Florida and Texas people watching.
Beautiful guineas.
Yeah, really nice assortment.
We got some white, really light colored guineas.
Like lavender, some
the hawks
buff.
Are going to love those.
Yes, and now they've started laying eggs in the chicken coop.
This is a big deal for us. We've never had a guinea lay eggs in the chicken
They're
coop.
They're also, right, there's a lot with these guineas. They're going in at night, which is great for us because that will mean they'll survive longer. Also, they've started laying eggs in the chicken boxes for us, nesting boxes.
We've never in 10 years of homesteading, and we've had guineas for on and off for years and years, we've never had them lay in the coop. I think it's because, thanks to you, in the very beginning, I wanted to let them out at a very young age.
Right. I had them in the barn. I hatched them in the house, kept them in the house for a few days. Then we had them in the barn under some lights, and they're loud. Right, that's the thing with guineas. They're loud.
And somebody has a YouTube channel.
Every time he'd be in the barn to make a recording, you would see his face. Just rage. Like so
rage.
Angry at the guineas. Because what else was loud in there? Something else would always make noise. He would be so angry.
Not really that angry. Like, mad at the guineas.
He'd be like, just let them out. So I did let them out. And by the 1 hour later, they're like miles away, and I see them over there. It's like, we have to go get the guineas again. They don't know how to get back.
They would have all died.
Birds, they would dumb little birds.
And I was like, well, they're gone. There they go. They're never coming back.
But they follow me.
Yeah.
And I herded them back up here into the house, not the house, into the barn.
I was following. Kay had a little feed, and she's going, yeah, teepee, teepee, teepees. And I was in the car behind them trying to, like, keep them moving forward.
Herding them with the Suburban.
And we got them all back into the barn, and then Kay said, we can't let them out
for... So they just need to stay in there for a little longer.
What was it, another month?
Yes. Sad.
And I apologized in lots of YouTube videos. I shot a lot of videos from the hayloft during that period. The hayloft is so quiet.
It's very peaceful.
I almost set the studio up in the hayloft. It just would be a little colder.
Yes.
But
and crowded sometimes.
We dealt with it. I can hear the guineas right now.
Of course. They're fantastic.
Good watchdogs. You always know when something new or somebody new's around. The real reason we get guineas, in case you're wondering, is ticks. Mm-hmm. We have a ton of ticks here, and the kids like to, we like to be outside all day. The kids like to play and run around, and they were coming in with a lot of ticks. We were coming in with a lot of ticks. So we decided, you know what, guineas, there's nothing better when it comes to tick control than a flock of guineas.
Because my mom had guineas here when we moved down, but in the transition, I wasn't feeding them the same way she fed them, and they got tired of that, and they left.
We had a whole flock just
moved
to my aunt's. Neighbors.
They were like, forget this. So we decided to bring them back last year. And we're incubating some guinea eggs now. We just started.
Yeah.
Some people were asking what incubator we used. Last year I used like a styrofoam one with a turner in it, the mechanism. It worked well. It just was really hard to get the humidity sorted out, and that one is a little bit more complicated. One we started with when we were just starting with chickens was a Brincia.
I'll hold this up. I'm not sure how well you can see. Oh, that's not too bad. If you follow me on Instagram, and there's a link below to our Instagram channel, @homesteadyshow. So go and follow, say hi. There's a picture I shared yesterday, my Shmoka Sunday. I was out on the porch smoking some meat, what did we do with chicken?
Chicken.
Oh yeah, chicken, farm fresh chicken yesterday. Meanwhile, Kay was on the inside of the house, putting the guinea eggs in the little Brincia incubator. So yeah.
This is one we've actually had for a really long time. Probably 9 years we had that one. It was a gift from my mom. Brincia actually sent us a chicken door last year, an automatic closing chicken door, right?
Yeah.
Which we've loved, and the incubator as well. And I can say that without being sponsored for the incubator, that it's been one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, that one.
Because it's very hands-off, the model we have. You just fill the little water. Probably once a week. It turns the eggs for you. It counts down. It's got a little digital thing. When we were farmers, somebody was asking if we consider ourselves farm or homestead.
Oh, that's a good question. Maybe we'll make that
back in the day, we were farmers, raising pigs and kind of working with more selling things. We would let people borrow our incubator, parents with kids who would want to see the eggs hatch. So we'd give them hatching eggs in the incubator, and they'd take it for a month until they'd hatch out their little eggs. And that was the one we would loan to people because it is very hands-off, and we would get very good hatches out of it.
Yeah, yeah, we always had good success there. So we've really enjoyed that. And the fun thing is kids get to watch. It's clear, the kids get to watch on hatch day.
That one we're using is tiny, which is why I used the styrofoam one last year, because it holds a lot more.
You remember when we used to live stream
the hatch?
We would live stream the guinea or the Brincy chicken hatches. But I stopped doing it. Somebody asked recently, are you going to do a live stream hatch this year? I stopped doing it because so many people, these got to be like city folks, show up. And you know, if you've ever watched a clutch of eggs hatch before, it's not like fireworks. It's not like, pew, 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 ah, look at all these birds popping up. They just, little crack.
What would people say, that it wasn't exciting?
They'd be like, there's nothing happening here. This is boring. And that was the same year that giraffe was being born on live stream.
Yeah.
And everyone was saying the same thing about the giraffe. Nothing happening here.
Well, it's birth. It's not like it happens on the movies.
No, yeah. So, we don't live stream hatches anymore. Too many complaints. There's nothing happening here.
But listen, I'll tell you why we actually don't do it. The Brincia has a plastic cover on it.
Yeah, that's
true. That, like, cat has a reflection. So, like, Austin would be in the kitchen where the incubator was.
Walking around in my boxers.
And his box. It would reflect the image. So we don't live stream, like, anything in our house like that.
It's too dangerous.
You never know what a reflection will show. That's the truth.
Oh, man. Yep, we have fun. How about cows?
How about Cindy wants to know any more problems with a pig/cow waterer?
Oh, as long as we're talking about automation here, right? We mentioned we did that Brincia automatic door.
Yeah, and I was thinking as we're coming into spring, talking about things that we will not miss about winter, because I love winter, especially in the beginning. We had great snowfalls in Western PA this year.
Yeah, we actually had a good winter.
But by February, when the auto water is frozen for the fifth time and you can't thaw it because it's too cold, you can't take it apart, you start to be like, boy, I wish it was warmer.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. The issue we found out with the waterer was pigs. Even though it's a pig waterer, and this we actually talked to the company about and they got back to us really quickly.
I have to say, because that was a sponsored video, they did send us that product and we shared it on the channel because we got it for free. They sponsored it. I was very impressed by their customer service. The owner got back to me on a weekend,
mm-hmm.
right? I texted him on like a Saturday.
He gave you his cell phone number send pictures to.
Send me, and he asked me, send me pictures of your setup. That way I can come up with some ideas. And right away I got him some pictures and he said,
Austin even gave him the pictures. He sent out the piece that he said, I think this will help you. Because what happens with pigs is their nose gets so dirty, and then they push the water down. Whether they use their feet or their nose, a lot of that dirt falls into the water, into the bowl. And as it drains, then it sucks it into the water and it clogs it.
Yeah.
Then it doesn't drain, it freezes in the bowl.
So
it has filters internally. But they're just far enough down.
You have to take it all apart.
Yeah, to fix it.
So what we wound up getting from the company, it's Bar A, Automatic Livestock Drinker, had zero problems until we brought
pigs.
And they actually started as horse drinkers. They were made for horses, and then they made different models for other kinds of livestock. They make this pig model, and they have a little insert. It's basically a screw,
like a bolt
that goes down into the hole, and he's drilled a couple little drainage holes. So basically what you have to do now is instead of taking it apart to clear the filter, it acts like a filter at the top of the drinker. And you just each day kind of pull the thing back, clean it out, all the piggy muck.
Yeah, it's mucky.
You put it back down.
It worked great for the camels, cows.
Oh my goodness. Not one cheap. Problem.
Everybody used it without a problem.
And
but pigs.
Kay said, like, we really enjoyed this winter. It was a really nice winter. And it was because we had all this automation making our life a lot easier. We had
Farmer Brad will like that.
Yeah, Farmer Brad is all about the automation. We had him on the show just to talk automation. By the way, check out Farmer Brad's channel and also check out the Mindful Homestead Jack, who's helping us moderating and putting laughing emojis when we talk about me walking around in my boxers. These are some of our channels we've done, you know, collabs and stuff with in the past. Great stuff. And you'll really enjoy their videos. So Farmer Brad, Mindful Homestead's in the chat box. John Siskovich, always talk about Johnny. He's our buddies. So yeah, that answered Cindy's question, right?
You're going, yep. And
no more problems now with the pig water.
No, it's great.
Yeah, it just requires an extra step of maintenance each day to clean it out.
Because pigs.
Because if you're going to have pigs in the winter, the biggest problem with pigs in the winter, it's always been...
That's why we've never done pigs in the winter, because of the water.
Yeah.
We would get them early spring, like March in Connecticut, and what they would do right away is dump out their water.
Oh, man.
We had, and then it would, you know, freeze everywhere. So
yeah, it was.
So this is the first year we're actually trying to have pigs do some breeding with them, and the auto water made it much easier.
Yeah, yeah.
And cow news, Ost. Cow news.
All right, what's everyone's probably news? Waiting on cow news.
Yes, they are.
Have
we're
we covered everything
heckled.
Else? Have we chit chatted enough? Have we drawn the suspense out? We do have some updates on who we think is still. Caring.
Oh, and look at them little fuzzy faces.
Also have some updates on who we think is
they're
not.
Still so fuzzy.
They
they're
are.
Starting to lose it. Luna's starting to get lose
sleek.
Her winter coat. Yeah.
People often will say, I don't know which is which. So just when you're looking at that beautiful shot of those three beautiful girls.
Luna's in the back, grasshoppers in the middle, and honeybees in the front. So honeybee's got that big
bullseye.
Yeah, star on her forehead. And she's the shortest of everybody. Grasshopper's tallest and darkest.
Grasshopper's the one I've always
Grasshopper always liked. Was Austin's baby. He
yeah,
pulled her.
I pulled her.
And then Luna's in the back. She was our first calf born on our farm.
So.
Grasshopper is Luna's baby.
We have been back and forth breeding AI.
We got two bulls last year. We AI'd.
Problems.
We AI'd. We stopped because... Why did we stop? Oh, because we needed to bring up everyone's selenium. We had issues with selenium. We did testing, and that's what they figured why the two cows lost their calves or didn't hold on to their pregnancies. They weren't very far pregnant. So we AI'd Luna and Honeybee about 5 weeks ago.
And we also ran a test, another pregnancy test on Grasshopper.
Right, just to confirm that she was still bred. We had a positive test on her, a positive test, and another positive test. And she is still pregnant.
So good news. Grasshopper will be the first calving.
This year.
And that's one of the reasons why we have scaled back this spring. Less chickens, less new things. Than we did last year. We wanted to make sure we were ready for a good calving season.
Yeah, because she's going to be fun. She's a wild little thing. I don't know if Austin did something to her. But she's wild. Just since she's been born, her and Honeybee have been so different. She's a wild thing. But she leads the best on halter because she had to the most.
Yeah.
Because I had to work with her the most because she's Luna's baby. We milked Luna. So every day I had to drag her in the barn, drag.
I think it's actually made her better.
Than she would be.
When you
be.
Bring her into the barn, her and Honeybee now. Honeybee is like a little
diva.
Dozer diva. She just like, I want to do this and bust things out of her way. Whereas Grasshopper now you can lead a lot easier than
Honeybee.
Oh yeah,
Honeybee. She leads really well.
Honeybee's a...
I'm excited to milk her because she is the tallest of the three cows. And when you're milking, it is nice to have a little bit more height on your cow. So you're not scrunched under, like having to be on your hands and knees milking under the cow. I'm hoping she has nice teats so we could try a little hand milking with her. And that'll be this summer.
Cindy wanted to know which breeding took for Grasshopper. Grasshopper, we were pretty like 99% sure, right, who it was?
Yes, because I did pull blood on her after that little Scottish Highland bull was here, and she was a negative. So we think she took to the Jersey bull that
little
we had her.
Chancho?
Yes, Conchos.
Chancho. Thinking of Nacho Libre. The kids are laughing. Chancho, when you are a man, you wear stretchy pants in your room.
See, Inigo Montoya, it's really a Nacho Libre mustache. That's who we think she, who bred her. So he is a mini bull. It'll be interesting to see what her little calf looks like. Because genetically, breeding these little cows, you kind of like, you can always have a throwback to a taller a sire or dam in their genealogy. Obviously, Grasshopper threw back to a taller one, but she still got that percentage of the mini in her. Bred to a mini, we'll see what we get.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it is exciting.
That's late summer.
Yes.
Late summer calving.
This will be our first calf ever in summer. We've only had fall calvings until now.
Yeah.
And I'm excited because then I'm not so worried about temperature, being cold. I'm a little hesitant, though, because I'm worried about the flies. So we'll see. We do some fly management around here. Hopefully it works.
We've done a lot of videos on the fly management in the past, the different strategies and things we've tried. And ultimately, there's literally flies in studio right now. We hung fly tape before we got started.
We did that to give it a real authentic feel.
We're live from the barn. There's not a barn without buzzing. fly tape.
I tried to kill as many as I could.
All right, next. Next, we...
Somebody saying sounds like milking honeybee will like be like goat milking. Yes. That's the thing about the mini jerseys. You get them small, small, small. Milking is a challenge. People will kind of get them on blocks on the milk stand to pick them up a little more. Honeybee, I'm afraid my milkers won't even fit under her.
Yeah,
and
be
it is, I mean, we've had Nubians with bigger teats than Luna has. There's definitely some pros and cons to them.
And the next big news is you will most likely be milking Honeybee.
Yes. I haven't pulled blood on either one of them. I haven't done a blood pregnancy test or a milk test on Luna. I'm giving it some time. I'm going to go past we're coming into heat about 2 weeks ago. Honeybee, I didn't see any bleed off or any signs of heat. So positive thinking would be she was bred with the AI.
We've addressed the problem that our vet told us is most likely the cause of them throwing the calves. Low selenium numbers. We address that, and after the breeding, no signs that it didn't take. No signs of heat, no signs of bleed off. So,
if she hangs on to this one, that'll be a deer season calf.
Oh man, of course, always.
We tried so hard to get rid of the fall calves, but here we are. And Luna, I think she did have a bleed off, so I don't think she took.
Yeah, so that's the bummer news from this.
Now for Luna. Next, I'll bring a bull on here and breed her. Oh. Still have the option of the Scottish Highland if we want. Asta's up in the air about that one.
I'm not a huge fan of the cross idea myself.
You'd like a mini.
If wanted to do a Scottish Highland, then let's get a Scottish Highland. Not opposed to that. They make a beautiful thumbnail.
They're beautiful cows.
Yeah. But me personally, I'm not as a big fan of the cross idea.
Now, I am watching Luna and Honeybee again next week to see if they come into heat or anybody has a bleed off. Then I'll be pulling blood and seeing, confirming.
So
we're not going to try to breed Luna within the next few months, though, because I don't want to be calving in the middle of winter.
So instead of having three boom, 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 flood.
Yeah, they're much more spaced out.
Yeah, they'll be a nice...
It's okay for us.
Especially because you have two brand new...
Yes. And I'm going to let you do a grasshopper.
Oh, no. She your favorite? Go for it. Mm-hmm. I milked a camel. I can milk a...
Sandy likes that Scottish Highland. I did, too. He was a very nice-tempered bull. We enjoyed having him.
Oh,
just in his little face.
Yeah, I really liked it. I actually just would rather have a full Scottish Highland. We've talked a lot about, like, over time, how long do we want to do dairy versus... I personally have said many times on the channel, the milking's not my thing. I don't like the dairy.
We've talked about commitment. Your issues with
having
commitment.
To do something every single day. Not great for a dairy.
No.
If you're not into that, dairy's probably not for you. But I have grown to love having cows. I think cows are one of the most the dairy cows, which have a lot of hands-on experience, they're very personable. The ones we have are very friendly. And because we do the smaller ones, we don't worry about them, you know, around us, the family. They're just a very easy animal to work with.
Yeah, and they're very easy to care for.
Yeah. So I have really grown to like the fact that I can move them through the field with one stepping post, one strand
fencing
of electric.
Is fantastic.
So nice. So
that's our friend who brought that little Highland bull. That's what he does with his whole, I think it's a flock, if they're Highland cattle. I think it's
they called
come a flock.
Ah.
Yeah, with just, I think, a single line and stepping posts.
Yeah.
And they respect it.
So nice.
So different than the sheep.
Yeah.
Oh,
man.
Or the pigs.
Yeah, no, the sheep and the pigs. At least the pigs will follow you. The sheep just jump, they'll jump through a four strand and be gone forever.
Yeah, they weren't bottle fed or anything, our lambs, and they were.
No, they were not super friendly lambs. So.
High Tech Homestead's got a mini Jersey calving in July. That's very exciting.
Nice.
Is it her first time calving? Or is this a second time freshener? It's exciting. So I remember when Ladybug was having Luna. It was awesome.
Yeah, that was one of, that's one of the biggest, we've talked about this before, it's one of my favorite memories of all our homestead life, sitting outside that beautiful,
November.
It was a November day, it was a warmer November day, mm-hmm. and Ladybug was ace,
yeah, she
perfect,
was great.
Perfect calving. I was super scared, because you heard stories about when, you know, a cow calves, she gets that surge of mother
hormones.
And if you're near her, she'll charge you and smash you into pieces.
It's always something to be cautious of.
You do want to respect the cow. Respect the cow. But Ladybug was great. I was afraid. That was back when she was pretty new. And I was totally afraid of Ladybug. And it was so nice.
And now you aren't afraid of even the camels.
No, Ladybug, that's one way she changed our farm. She changed our life, our homestead. Ladybug was a huge part of this. And we actually have a really nice, pretty soon we're going to be sharing with you, we have a beautiful Ladybug Homesteady shirt coming out soon. So I wish it was ready. I can share a sneak peek of it. I think it's, I'll share a little sneaky peek of it. Because we weren't planning on talking about Ladybug today.
All right, bye, Jack. Jack said no.
Jack's out of here. Thanks for joining us, Jack. Check out the Mindful Homestead. And we did have somebody else who was...
Cindy Brown.
Oh, beauty.
She could be a mod.
Yeah, we can make Cindy a mod. Cindy's still up for being a mod. But I do want to find that beautiful Ladybug photo. Where did that go? All right, so I'll find that. We'll share that later. That's the big news. We do want to answer a few questions before we go sign off today. But before we get to questions...
Tell everyone again, just for people who came in a little later, what is the big news? Because there were some people who came
later.
Oh,
okay. If you've just joined us, the big news, a couple big news is... Podcast is back. This is episode one of the podcast, and you'll be enjoying it every single week, the podcast. So sign up to the podcast link below. We will be live streaming some of them. Don't know if we'll be live streaming all of them here on YouTube, but definitely subscribe to the podcast and keep your eyes peeled. And if you just want to know everything that's happening, I'll warn you through our email list. There's a link below for our email list. So go ahead and hit that email list. Sign up for the email list, join. That way you know if we're live streaming, if it's a podcast, if it's a vlog, if we have a new course, if we have a new Ladybug t-shirt, whatever news is happening, email list is where to go. So check out that link. And as long as I'm talking about links and clicking stuff, let me tell you about the sponsor for today. This episode's sponsor
Google wants to know about camels. That's a great topic for us to talk about next week.
Camels, that would be a great update. And we are going to answer questions right after this. We have a couple questions we want to get to, so don't go nowhere. Our sponsor for this episode, Cheeky Maiden Soap. Cheeky Maiden Soap. The reason I brought some of their deodorant in today is, for one, I did the barn today. Do I smell?
I mean.
This is
no.
Fun.
No, you don't.
There you go. I don't smell. And yet, it has no aluminum in it. Here's what's inside. Ready? Stuff inside Cheeky Maiden Soap. Coconut oil, beeswax, arrowroot powder, geranium essential oil, lime essential oil. That's what's in this particular one. Not my go-to scent. There's a couple others. Cheeky Maiden sent us some shaving soap, some deodorant, some
lip balms,
chunky soap,
hand soap,
teeth soap?
Bar soap, teeth soap.
Have you ever heard of teeth soap?
You said laundry soap, right?
Comment in the chat box. I had never heard of teeth soap. It's not toothpaste.
No, it's like a little bar of soap and you rub your toothbrush on it. And all their ingredients, you can read everything. You know what everything is. Everything smells good. We've liked the scents, haven't reacted to anything.
Yeah.
And they work.
My two big things with all natural deodorants. Do they actually work? Because I can power through a lot of those. And then the kids are laughing.
Because they know it's true.
They know it's true. I can power through a lot of those. And then if they actually work, do they make me burn? And Cheeky Maiden passed both tests. I do not smell. I mean, some days, if I'm in the middle of the pig pen, like there's nothing you can do. But usually, I'm not smelling, and usually, or definitely no burning. So.
And Cindy put up the code there that if you're watching this, there's a code that you can put in, HMSTDY, 25% off.
25% off your entire first order. And you'll find that in the chat box. You'll also find that in the description. And I got to make Cindy a mod. So
do it. Hi, River Rock.
We're Cindy Brown. Good. Right?
Where are you guys at? Yeah, Cindy. S-Y-N-D-Y.
Cindy is a mod. Thank you, Cindy.
Monique's heard of tooth soap. It's interesting. Because it's foamy. Did you try it yet?
I actually didn't try the tooth soap yet. I was scared. Not scared of... I mean, there's nothing bad in it. I just was like, how do you use tooth soap?
That
could be the next live commercial. I'll try tooth soap. The deodorant... pass with flying colors. Also the shaving soap.
The hand soap.
Great.
It was great.
So thank you, Cheeky Maiden, for sponsoring this episode.
The kids haven't tried the teeth soap either. So maybe that will be our challenge this week. I've tried it. So I guess the rest of the family has to try it.
Yeah. And then we'll come back and tell you what we thought of tooth soap. Check out Cheeky Maiden. Awesome stuff. The other way we do this show, the other sponsors are the Homesteady Pioneers. So... if you love what we do, we have a huge library of in-depth interviews and episodes for Pioneers Only. And now we're doing once a month a Homesteady Pioneer Roundtable event where the Pioneers actually join for a Zoom call. We get together, we pick a subject, and we talk about it. We talked about plans for the spring. We heard from Pioneers all over the world what they had planned. Really, really exciting. So if you'd like to join us for that live Zoom once a month, the Homesteady Pioneers Roundtable, click the link below, become a pioneer, and you can join us for that. Time to answer some questions.
Okay.
In the future, if you would like us to read a question, read a story, any of that stuff, there's a contact form on the website, or you can just email me, aust@thisishomesteady.com. Let me know in your message. I want you to read this on the air. Doesn't guarantee you'll actually be the one we pick to read for the show, but let me know you're okay with us reading it on the air. If you leave a question in the YouTube chat box, we know you're okay with it. But if you email us and you're okay with us sharing it on the show, let us know, especially if you include like pictures. I got a couple different really just such nice letters that I would have loved to have read today, but I haven't got the thumbs up to share pictures or their stories. So in the future, just know if you send me an email and you'd like it shared. We're looking forward to each week sharing some emails, some questions, discussing what's going on in other homesteads. And just sharing that with the community. So just remember that.
Tom actually made a point, if we want to go on to questions or
comments. Yeah, we're ready.
Tom Wilson said maybe your cows need a mineral sled. Wouldn't be a bad idea if that was something we would want to do this year. We've been feeding a loose mineral and haven't had an issue until we switched our minerals and didn't realize the one we switched to didn't have selenium in it.
Yeah.
Because the selenium needs are so different across the country. And it was a custom milling company who did it for us. We didn't specify we wanted selenium in it. So we didn't know, but they weren't getting any selenium.
Very interesting. And this is where every year of homesteading, no matter how long you've been doing it, I find you just constantly are learning something new. For years, we've been doing this mineral and just everything been going fine. We switched, like Kay said. And the reason why our new mineral didn't have it is not only... in different areas of the country, are there different levels of selenium and maybe they don't need it? They can actually die of a selenium overdose. So whereas some general mixes might have low numbers, this custom mix we had, which we are happy with it, we needed to let them know, hey, we're in an area in the country where we're low on selenium. So just something to remember for you if you're ever getting involved in cattle and minerals.
Oh yeah, cattle, goats, sheep. I mean, we're talking even pigs. If you're doing a grazing pig, you really need to be conscious of their minerals and find out what your area, where the deficiencies are.
Yeah.
Before you, because that, we firsthand experience, that can affect your breeding. If ever anyone's breeding back, if they're losing calves, can all be mineral deficiency. Because we're giving them, they're eating grass that's growing in soil that doesn't have selenium. We're feeding them hay, local hay, that's being grown where there's no selenium. So they've really had a deficit. We gave them an injectable, long-lasting selenium, and now we're doing good. Our camel actually came to us with a selenium deficiency as well. So it's so much more involved making your own feed and minerals. It's really good to consult with experts before you decide, like, oh, I'm going to design my own feed. And it's not what we did, but it's a good thing to remember that it really, animal nutrition is a very complex subject.
We, if you want to get a question answered here in the chat box, make sure to put the @ and then homesteady. That way it jumps out so I can see it, because we got a ton of comments.
But I got a good one here, High Tech Homestead.
I was wondering if you were going to go there. This is fun.
Yes.
But before you do, let me just finish my, make sure to tag us at homesteady in the chat. And we have 243 watching, almost to 200 likes, guys. Thumbs up. Hit that thumbs up. It helps this channel
smash
grow.
The like button.
This time you can smash it if you want.
High Tech Homestead.
I was wondering if you would do this.
Which mini jersey registry do you prefer and why? AMJA, MJHB, PMJS, etc.
If for those of you who are not familiar with mini jersey registries.
Careful what you say.
Oh boy. This video might get flagged. What is for those who don't know, what's a registry?
A registry is where your purebred animals, so animals that all have the same characteristics, you're breeding, you know, with dogs, cats. For cows, there's the American Jersey, AJCA, where Ladybug was registered. So she was a registered Jersey. That meant these are going to be her characteristics. We know what to expect with her. The mini Jersey breed is new. Since the 80s, people have been developing this. There have been registries that have popped up to cater to people who are saying, now I want to know what to expect in my miniature Jersey. I don't want it to be a half Hereford and half Jersey that just looks like a Jersey. I actually want to see the ancestry and know that, okay, that was a classified as a mini Jersey. So there are these different registries, and there is a lot of conflict. There's some things that go around out there, and I'm sure this is like this in other aspects of purebred animal breeding. I believe when we first started, Ladybug, like I said, was registered as a standard Jersey with AJCA. She was also registered with the miniature, none of those, it's the one for Miniature Cattle Association. I forget what the words are for that one. Going forward, because I like what Lorinda from the PMJS is doing, Purebred Mini Jersey Society is doing, with the genotyping, finding out the genomics of your cow, so how much percentage is it? It's a very complicated subject for mini Jersey people, but this is just personally what we're doing, because I'd like to know what to expect with my cows. I'd like to know if the bull I'm breeding them to, if they're going to be throwing small calves, which for my cows, they're small. I'd like them to be throwing small calves. I'd like to know what I can improve on my cows, straighter backs, better feet. I like that with genomics, you can kind of have an idea of what your calves and cows, what traits are going to be showing. So that's why we're registered or registering with the PMJS.
Yeah, and that's one of those areas where, again, we're joking, if you're in the world, you know there's people that will get over fights on forums over this. What are your goals, right? Why are you deciding to do what you're deciding to do? Is your goal to have the smallest little cow that you can go out and milk?
And that's where our mini Jersey bull came from. the guy who brought him, the owner, he's a big guy. He's probably 6'5", 6'6".
Oh, yeah.
He's huge. And he just loves little cows. Yeah. He just wants to breed the littlest cow he can.
And he was...
Doesn't even milk them.
So
just
excited.
Wants a little cow.
When he saw our girls, he's like, oh, man, wait till our bull. Oh, they're going to make little ones. They're this big. You see them at my place. I got a cow. It's this big.
He just loves little cows. He's really cute.
So if that's your goal, your priority versus... Kay just actually wants to keep it pure as much as possible Jersey, and doing the genetic test, you can find out how much of what's in there. And yeah, it's allowed.
And we would love to someday have some of the registry people on here to talk more about it.
Yeah. And we have to say we've been in communication with Lorinda, who runs the registry that we like, and we think
she's been
great.
A very good contact. Yeah. Yeah, very helpful.
So maybe we'll add that link. Do you know her website?
Not off the top of my head, no.
If they search
PMJS,
I can find
it Jerseys.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So we'll add, if we remember that, we can add a link to Lorinda and what she's doing at the...
Because there are benefits to these little cows. I was talking with somebody on our video about, with a purebred, you have predictability. You know what you're going to get. With these little mini cows, they're so new, there's still some unpredictability. It's harder to predict, like Grasshopper was. And I was going somewhere with that thought. But my little cows, I fed on one bale of hay.
Oh, wow.
The entire winter without them losing condition. They kept in very nice condition. They didn't get too skinny on one bale of hay.
Yeah, it was incredible.
So there are definite advantages to the smaller cows. Now, somebody's asking, how many could they cram into a... Hold on. Question.
Sardine those little cows.
They have a lot, and it's more of a... I think I read more of a wood lot. I can't. Okay, 3 acres for small cows. How many can I cram in there? About half wooded. These questions are hard to answer because we don't know what your growing season's like. If you're in New Zealand... throw a lot of them on there. You got a long growing season. If you're in Arizona, a lot less. So talk to your extension agent. They're still a cow. So they're still going to need the grass. It's different than, you know, having some chickens or ducks out there. But yeah, find out your extension agent and ask them what they recommend for a cow. And then maybe just take a little bit off of that. Our girls, how much do we have up there for them? And they go through it, especially in slower, or be prepared to hay feed.
Yeah, that was the thing I was going to add, is you can have on 3 acres, if you want to put a bunch of them on there, you can do it. You just have to bring them the feed you don't provide. And usually when people are asking that question, I think what they're looking to do is try to keep them on the land, take advantage of as much land as there without having to supplement their diet. So you can bring hay, and you can, you know, bring round bales of hay, and you can feed them hay all year. And these little mini Jerseys don't go through a whole lot of hay. It's really nice.
And people will say, like, they're fat. They stay fat on air.
Yeah.
They don't need a lot of input. It's been one bale of hay for all of them.
Yeah, so it's you can definitely have them, but you got to be ready. And some places hay is cheaper or more expensive than others.
Feather and Downs from New Zealand, and they're leaving. So thanks for joining.
Yeah.
And enjoy that nice weather down there.
And thank you all for joining for this first podcast of the season.
I know. That's... somebody said you're going to turn the CAFO road. That's the only thing. Put a pile of them on 3 acres, you're going to be in a mud...
going to look
land.
Like a CAFO. Yeah, no, there's a balance. Yeah, thank you all for joining us for this. This has really, really been an awesome first podcast back.
Can I answer another question? Oh, it's Feather and Dawn. When to breed your Jersey? I do at a year. They're a year and a half. I mean, you're in New Zealand. They're probably in nice shape. Get that nice New Zealand Jersey. That's... if you're not going mini, but you want a Jersey, find that New Zealand Jersey.
That's what Ladybug was. She was New Zealand genetics,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, she was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. She did great. You're going through... You want to burn up those questions.
I can...
hey, I don't want to rush you.
That's all right. I'm going to talk about preventing milk fever when we have our new calves.
Yeah, that was a good question. Mm-hmm. There's lots and lots, and I think people realize we got Kay here. We can get the cow questions answered. When I do the live stream without Kay, I don't answer any cow questions. Unless it's like, how tall
do
is
you
Grasshopper?
Like cows?
What color is Luna?
Yes, Cindy, it's PMJS, Purebred Mini Jersey Society. Lorinda is the founder's name. And she's very willing to answer any questions that you have. She's also big into disease testing, which we can always get behind that.
Yeah, we are. That's something.
We acknowledge there are diseases out there, and it's never possible to keep yourself completely disease-free.
As we learned, yeah.
We're surrounded by it.
I would love to do, and maybe we'll plan this spring. We'll take a day and we'll talk about our new, kind of what we've learned from our experience with Ladybug and our new, like, going forward, how we're managing. If we buy livestock, what we're doing, that'd be a cool topic to cover. Yeah, but not today. That'd be a whole episode. Any more questions you want to cover?
Thank you, Cindy.
Oh, beautiful. So now we got the registry that is Kay's go-to. It's in the chat box here. You can click on the link.
So the round table worked. You liked it?
I did like it. Yep. This is... We always joke because I can podcast... all by myself in the woods, I could do a podcast. I never shut up. And
soliloquy.
Kay will tell me at times, that's why you started a podcast. But I have so much more fun when you're here. And I think the audience does too. Since the early days of doing the podcast audio only, when you would come on, we'd get a lot of good feedback. Oh, I love when Kay comes on the show. And so thanks for joining me for this.
Like Austin was saying, both my grandparents... You can tell the story if you want.
Yeah.
They both passed away this year, a month apart.
How many years have they been married?
60.
Over 60?
65 years.
Yeah. And, you know, 10 years, more than 10 years being housebound, her grandfather was.
And they, my grandma went blind and they were housebound, but they loved to watch our show.
Yeah, that was their, they were housebound. They couldn't get out. They couldn't see the kids, the great-grandkids. We had a whole mess of their great-grandkids. They had other ones, too. But we would go and visit them, and they would talk about, oh, her grandma would hear the episodes. Her grandpa would watch them, and they'd know what was going on in the farm. So it was a little way for them to get out and, you know, see what was going on. And then with COVID, we weren't able to see them as much because, you know, trying to keep the people who were more susceptible to COVID, you know, safe from people like us who wound up getting COVID. So it's been a while since we got to see them. And yeah, so they wound up within a month of each other. They didn't get COVID. It wasn't COVID related. They just, both of them got to that point where the body started shutting down, and within a month, her grandpap and then her grandma passed away. And
and now we have their table and chairs.
We're sitting in their chairs.
And her bread pans. And I think, like, how much they would enjoy seeing and hearing us.
Yeah. So, thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next week.